Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
But here's what's crazy. Darius doesn't even know about this. This is going to spook you out a little bit. I just went to the bathroom during the break. And when I went to the bathroom...
I thought you did a great job in the bathroom, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I thought it was a seamless operation.
You were the guy there. You were right next to me. The guy washing your hands
right
over
there. Right next to each
other, yeah. The sign on the door at a radio station for a bathroom often says something like, you know...
Wash hands upon exit.
Yeah, make sure you wash your hands, crazy people, or whatever. Mm-hmm. This one says... Tornado shelter.
Tornado shelter.
We must be in like an alley. We must be. I know we're in Kansas, which is a tornado place.
Yeah.
But it says tornado shelter. It's got me thinking. When's tornado season? We're in the clear here
now,
right? Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
I think so.
Look that up for me. We need to get Bish Bucks on the line. Doesn't he come chase tornadoes here?
Well, that's one of his dreams, I think.
I think he did it once.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. It's March through June. I thought it was same as hurricane season.
I was thinking it was like spring when we get our storms.
I thought it was same as Carolina hurricane season. No, it's March through June.
Okay. So we're fine then.
Yeah. Still, it doesn't mean there's never been a tornado in October. There never has.
Probably not.
Okay.
But it says on the door, tornado shelter.
That was one of my biggest fears as a child, was tornadoes. Thunderstorms was up on the list, but tornadoes, oh my goodness, man. Like, nothing kept me up at night like watching Weather Channel and seeing tornado warnings anywhere near Maryland. If it was anywhere near Maryland, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, the level, like, we use the word awesome in different contexts, but like, oh, that was awesome. But, like, the original usage of the word, the awesome power of the tornado... Where it's just like, it's so mind-boggling. It's not even boggling. It puts your mind in a bottle where like cars are lifted, like you'd picking up a matchbox car, you know, or like houses just ripped off the ground. Like, it's insane.
This is going to sound like such a tough guy take. I'm saying that in advance. Okay?
Oh, boy.
What are you about to do?
Here's what I'm doing. And I also want to acknowledge before I say this, I am petrified of death. I'm afraid of so many things. And I don't want to die at all. I think living is the best. Breathing is amazing.
So silly.
And the idea, like, there's people I know, like, my wife is one of these people, doesn't fear death, has no problem with the idea of it. She's so excited about it. Not that she wants to die anytime soon, but she's like, I'll just get to meet God and live in heaven, and it's going to be amazing. That's cool that she has that ability to think that way. I do not, okay?
Like, right here and now, like, barbecue for lunch.
Yes.
sleeping. You ever been asleep?
It's
so good.
I'm going to Arrowhead Stadium tonight to watch the National Football League in front of me. That is so much better than being asleep forever.
Than the endlessness.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And like, if you really want to have anxiety, and I don't want to ruin anybody's day too much, but like, think about it. It's forever. You never get to do it again.
Yep.
Just until the end of time, no more. And then my heart starts beating too fast, whatever. But anyway, my reason for bringing this up is, this is going to be a tough guy bit. I don't really have the proper fear of tornadoes. And here's what I mean by that. Like, when I see tornadoes, in my mind, the funnel is the tornado. I would have no problem, like, 100 yards away in a field. If it's like, there it is. I'm not running from it. I'm not driving away at a high rate. I'll just, you know, lay down if it's getting close to me and wait for it to pass. And I know that that's wrong, and it would probably pummel me. But in so many ways, I'm afraid of so many other things. Tornadoes is not on my list.
Where did tornadoes rank for you?
So low.
Like, tidal wave, more or less afraid.
Oh, way more afraid of a tidal wave.
Earthquake, more or less afraid.
Way more afraid of an earthquake.
Like an active thunderstorm where there's like the hairs on your arms stand up, like lightning is striking everywhere.
Comparable to a tornado. Yeah, I don't, like if I'm in a, how am I trying to say this? You've seen all the videos that I have before where a guy's like at his house filming a tornado across a field. He's like, look, it's forming. There it is.
There's the cone.
I'm not condoning this. I'm not telling you guys not to do it. Everyone should listen to all the rules. I don't think if the water's going to rise, I'm leaving. If there's a hurricane coming, I'm leaving. Water's involved. If it's just like tornado warning, I'm going to go down in the basement, sit pretzel style, and put on the TV. I don't know why. It's just not.
Why aren't you properly afraid of it?
I don't know. It's like I need one to kick my ass so that I can learn the lesson.
But how many? Like, you see what I'm getting at? Like, I've never been.
I've seen so many videos and so many movies like Twister or the new one with Ryan Clary, where I watch it and it's like, as long as you just jump to the side of it as it comes by.
Like, as long as there's a slow-mo explosion, you jump to the side.
This is going to sound so dumb. This is a deep cut, but this is how I'm thinking about this. Think about like Madden back in the day when you had the passing cone and there was that light.
Yeah.
That showed the part of the field where he was throwing it
to. Mark Brunell's was so skinny.
So in my mind, the way a tornado works, I know this is not correct, is like there's like a little, like you could paint in front of it the part where the wind is and the part where the wind's not. And if you're like 30 feet to the left of it.
Then you're fine.
You're just fine.
Like that's wrong.
I think it's wrong way less of the time than we assume. You can see the circular funnel. And I'm saying, like, right outside of the funnel, I think I'm pretty okay. That's kind of in my mind what I'm thinking.
Right, but you're acknowledging that that's not correct.
Depending on the size and the scope of the tornado. Again, I'm going to go back to the beginning. A little bit of a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
But I am properly afraid of a lot of stuff. That is just not on my list. And it's not even like, oh, I won't have to deal with them. I'm in D.C. I mean, if today, right now, there's a tornado coming.
Like the siren goes off, you're in the studio, you're like, eh.
I just asked you, you said you'd be freaking out.
Terrified. Again,
it sounds like Darius would be insufferable.
If nature decides it's your time, it is your time.
Darius would be the guy in the elevator with Clary. And then
By the way, it's
going to sound like such a tough guy bit.
We're going to gloss over that because everyone's talking about something else.
That's a good pull.
That's a great bit. That's a hilarious bit. Ryan's probably going, ha, back in the studio.
I hope I popped him.
That's a 10.
Attaboy, Clary. And then I'm going to, I hate saying it. It sounds so cringy. I think I'm perfectly fine. I'm chilling. I don't even think, I take anxiety medication because I worry about everything. I don't even think my anxiety raises. I really don't.
I mean, you remember how I was with the bee that was near the red box?
Yeah, you with the bee is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean, imagine a tornado. That times a billion. I just can't understand how you don't have any.
Like the tornado isn't alive, right? It's not a sentient being,
right?
Okay,
it's nature.
It's nature. So it's going. It goes so fast, and the force it creates is so massive. If for whatever reason, whatever moves it, and it moves it towards you, that's it. Like that's it. If it doesn't, and you're like, I'm 31 feet to the left of the cone. I'm silly. You may survive, but it's not up to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
That thing is so powerful. What it takes to form shouldn't happen. It shouldn't. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? It's so massive that it just rolls around. Like sometimes, like the giant tractor gets picked up and thrown, like you and I are tossing the football. Sometimes, like the house gets ripped up and it's like whoopsie daisy, there it goes. And then like a dude's like, I can't believe I'm filming it and I'm still here. Luck, blind luck.
This is the best way to put it then, because I think my very detailed points about like the cone and all that are probably too much. I would never in a million years walk near a ledge because I could slip.
Yes.
Or someone could get funny and try to like push me and grab me and then I fall off or whatever. I just have so much fear of that, whatever that is.
Yep. The correct treatment of the risk.
Yes.
Yes.
I would never like lean over the railing of a cruise ship to look down at porpoises or something, right? Like, if I fall, it's curtains.
A DC radio man went overboard this afternoon on a Bahamas cruise line. Exactly. He was rescued by one person that saw it. Yeah.
I would have no problem going on a ride along with like storm chasers.
Oh.
I just don't think that would bother me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You and Bish would be excited to go do it.
And I don't know.
Would you be excited about it?
I kind of think so, actually.
Oh my
God.
Now,
excited is too strong, I think. Because in my mind, I know I'm elevating my risk, which is antithetical to how I view everything in the world. But I would have zero fear, and I would have, I'm not going to say excitement, I'm going to say immense curiosity. Like, I would want to see what they're up to.
Your curiosity is at the core of this. Asking follow-up questions about people's haircuts, man. That's what's getting you into the storm where you get blown away.
Also, if I'm with them and it's not just me and you in a truck, I feel great because they know what they're doing. I'm just in the back seat kind of riding along. This is their 19th time this month. Oklahoma Joe's up there driving along like Glenn Powell. I think I'm okay with that.
Just a bunch of amateur storm chasers.
Yeah.
We put a cinder block in the truck, so we're good.
Look at the picture that Toby just sent us. Would you ever do that? So it's a picture of Toby's feet hanging over the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Nope. Well,
I don't even have to open it. No. I mean, I have a... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, Toby.
I mean, this is giving me bubble guts. Like, I have to close this. First of all, what is Toby doing? Let's start with that. Second of all, get away from there.
He's sitting. Imagine a psycho just has a break in that moment.
That's actually the fear.
And he goes, him.
My fear is the rock fall, like the rock breaks or cracks or something underneath me, and now
and then Toby
I start
will
tumbling.
Fall down. Yeah. We'll come all ties her dead.
But
on
also,
the fall.
If you're with people, I don't trust them enough to not like the bit of I don't know what your friends are like, but if you're like walking on the ledge and then they don't even come near you, but they just go oh, and then like start like 6 feet away, like they're going
like,
to.
Isn't that so funny?
Now we're done. Now I'm not playing that.
I mean, I had to hold my. I told you this. Just doing the Ferris wheel in National Harbor.
I would not do that.
I had to hold my 12-year-old's hand and close my eyes and just rock like Leo Mazzilli in the seventh inning stretch.
Leo Mazzoni.
Who did I say? Mazzilli? Yeah, sorry, Leo Mazzoni. I mean, I'm freaking out, losing my mind. My seven-year-old was a pig in mud. He was so happy. It was for him, and it was terrifying, and I sweat a lot. And I don't know that I'd want to do it again, but if he did, I'd have to because it was for him.
Am I saying that? Like, I would not do a Ferris wheel. So I'm saying Ferris wheels are scarier than tornadoes. Right,
which, again, I think there's a...
Sounds like a dumb thing to say out loud.
Yeah, when you say it out loud. There's a comparison.
I'm just, all I'm doing is opening myself up to you and the people listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yeah, it's why he's one of the great quarterbacks to ever live, and there's a real case to be made already. I mean, he's ahead of all Tom Brady's paces, not just statistically, which isn't even close, but even as a winner.
He's remarkable.
Championship appearances, Super Bowl rings. Like, he's going to go down very likely, if this continues, as the greatest quarterback of all time. But they do a lot of things well from a stadium presentation standpoint. I thought the coolest thing they did, so there's this really good light show. By the way, the new technology with these lights has changed the game in stadiums. You see it at Nats Park when they do the post-home run red lights and flashing in the ballpark. You see it in the NFL before kickoffs. They have it now over in Landover as of last season, thanks to the new ownership group, where they do their own light shows before night games. But it's so cool. It gets the crowd into it. But then they introduce their offense, and they introduce individuals. They don't do this enough at home in D.C., I think it's such a lame, wasted opportunity to juice the crowd and to give everybody a shot in the arm when you do the introduction as a team. And now, here's your 2025 Commanders, coached by Dan Quinn. And they all run onto the field for the national anthem. Uh-uh. The Patriots did that once in a Super Bowl. Everyone made a big deal about it. And there are still teams doing it all these years later. What you don't get is, this is how you get the crowd into it. Do you know what the Chiefs did for their starting lineup last night? They announced their starting offense.
But like 14 people.
They announced 15 guys. They announced all their receivers. They announced all their running backs. They announced Patrick Mahomes last, obviously, right after Travis Kelce. But yeah, it's like the offensive line. Then they announced four wide receivers. I was like, wow, are they starting like out of, you know, empty? What is happening here? Then they announced three running backs. I'm like, oh, they're just literally, this is not really their starting offense. This is just a chance for everyone to run out and get hyped up and for the crowd to go absolutely bananas, which is exactly what happened. But yeah, couldn't have been a better atmosphere. Couldn't have been a better experience for us to watch the game. And then early on, Danny, the Commanders actually showed up and played some ball. I mean, they matched the Chiefs in the early part of this game. I thought their plan on their opening drive coming out was actually fantastic. They had to stay ahead of the chains. Check. They had to get quick game going. Marcus Mariota can operate that. Check. They go 40 yards on 9 plays. They've got a 1st and 10 at the 18 in the red zone to open this game. It's been over 5 minutes. And on a 1st and 10, where you're already in chip shot field goal range, you throw a screen pass. The whole point of the drive was nothing dangerous, no penalties. Let's just silent count our way down the field 3 to 5 yards at a time, and they were doing it. It's a tightrope walk, though. Nothing can go wrong.
Yep.
You can't get behind the chains with a hold. You can't have a false start and be 2nd and 15, 3rd and 8. And it was working. They were landing this plane on the most narrow runway ever. It's so hard to do. And they were marching down the field 4 yards at a time. And then this screen pass hits Deebo Samuel, who's looking downfield, kind of a before he gets the ball, off of the shoulder pad, into the air, and an interception. And that was the first real turning point on the road where the whole place got into it right then and there.
Yeah.
I remember looking at you and going, that could not have happened like in a worse place.
Could not have gone worse. And that they got the look they wanted, too, by the way. Two guys that were there to defend were blocked up. The third guy, the safety, is deep enough where I got Deebo ahead of steam with a couple of blockers weaving his way. I'll take my chances there every time, please, and thank you.
You're first in goal, at least.
They left, I think it was either defensive end or maybe a linebacker on block who's trying to scrape and pursue down the line. You ain't getting there in time. If that pass is caught, maybe a touchdown, first and goal at a minimum, right? So then, of course, that's the dagger. That's just killer. So their first three possessions, interception, turnover on downs. You can't afford that.
By the way, against them. Liked going for both of those fourth downs.
I had no problem with it.
And I would do it again.
Yeah.
I would go as far as to say, I don't know if you would disagree with this, I don't even think either was debatable. So they had a fourth down and a handful at the 40-yard line on the first one. That's a 58-yard field goal with a guy that's been on the team for 3 hours. I don't know what his range is. I'm sure they do. I'm not sending Matthew Wright out at Arrowhead Stadium in that atmosphere to kick a 58-yard field goal. Sorry, it's not happening. They'd also just moved the ball 60 yards on 8 plays. I mean, they were cooking. They'd had 3 first downs on the drive. So that was the ultimate. Like, this has been the one time when coaches have actually gone for fourth down over 10 to 15 years was in that, like, 38 to 43-yard line. No man's land on 4th and 5. If I punt it.
A punt nets you 12 yards after the touchback.
Yeah, it might be a touchback. If I kick a field goal, we're probably going to miss it. So, like, that one to me was really, really easy on a night where you don't have your starting kicker. The next one is more debatable because they're at the 28-yard line. And you could say, well, it's a 46-yard field goal. If you're signing this guy who's an NFL kicker, he should make that. It was after a 5-play, 31-yard drive. But even then, it was 4th and short. It was actually only a couple of yards. So to me, again, you're moving it. You've had some success. It's kind of a no-brainer go, in my opinion. And on that 4th down, that was the one where Mariota threw this like weird deep shot where he and McLaurin weren't on the same page. I'm not really sure exactly what he saw or what Terry was seeing, but he basically stopped. Mariota threw way down the field. I thought it was also too far to the sideline. It wouldn't have given him a chance anyway. But on that play, if you look, Ertz is open immediately on the little cross pattern, a little drag route. If you just hit him, you keep the drive moving. So it's a lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda for them. But that's 3 drives in now. You've had the ball. You've moved it into their territory to the Kansas City 18, the Kansas City 40, and the Kansas City 25, and you have no points to show for it.
Those two, you want to call them mistakes or, you know, failures. So I don't know what word you want to use. But they process is good to me. You go for those. Kansas City dials up a blitz on the one that where, you know, McLaurin either ran the wrong route or Mariota threw the wrong ball. I don't know what's what, but that's probably where his read took him in the face of some pressure. So those two lack of conversions, and then Jalen Lane's mistake to start the second half for Washington, where Kansas City goes down and scores. Okay, you're down a touchdown. You probably should be up a touchdown or a couple scores because you didn't convert early on, but that's a bummer. Whatever, it happens. You're still in this game. It's still punch for punch. And Lane sprinting up to catch the ball that may or may not have gone out of bounds. You know, maybe you give it a chance to. He does none of those things, kind of brain farts and goes out of bounds at the one. And the place is roaring. And from then on, that was it to me. Kansas City was rolling. You weren't. If you're going to beat a team that's better than you, and I think everybody listening would acknowledge that team is better than Washington right now this minute, right? Duh. Okay.
Not even close.
If you're going to win that game, when Kansas City is playing with their food, a.k.a. you, and Patrick Mahomes, who does not get sacked, is sacked 3 times. Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't throw interceptions, throws 2. One not his fault. One absolutely his fault. Great play by Marshawn Lattimore, by the way.
Incredible play by Lattimore.
I mean, he is blanketed right there. Great, great play. When they mess up, you can't. You're not Buffalo. You're not going heavyweight title fight where one mess up, then they mess up, and you know it's a battle of attrition. You got enough plays. You don't. Backup quarterback. Old, beat-up, slow roster, guys coming back from injury who aren't necessarily themselves just yet. There's no margin for error with them at all. And they made errors, and you lose by 21 because of it.
They turn the ball over on their first 2 drives, and you get 0 points out of it, and you're still at nothing. The Chiefs feel like it's the biggest victory in the world.
Yeah, because they know they're going to get theirs. They know, you know, you feed Rashee Rice enough times, Travis Kelce shakes free on some veteran stuff. You know they're going to get theirs.
Let's say realistically, you just kicked two field goals out of those two drives. Had you have finished your first drive, it's 10 or 13 to nothing. If you get a field goal or two, just 6 points out of those two takeaways, which, by the way, while I think the defense in the second half had zero answers, again got out-coached. You go into halftime, everybody gets to make adjustments. You have the same amount of time as they do. Andy Reid puts together a plan to come out and go net yards on his first three drives of the second half, 65 for a touchdown, 75 for a touchdown, and listen to this one, Danny, 119 yards for a touchdown. You go, how is that possible? It's because they had 25 yards in penalties. But every time they kept marching back, they would just get the yards right
back. Just easily.
That was when Rashee Rice, who's a dummy but a great player, threw the ball right at the helmet of Mikey Sanristil. Like, what are you doing? What a moron penalty that was. That
pretty
was
embarrassing.
Really ridiculous. But it didn't matter because he would just go on to make more plays and be awesome.
He had to sit out for a play. Then he came back in and got a first down.
13-play, 119-yard drive, 94 net for Kansas City. But defensively for Washington, it was the Cowboys game again. Busted coverages, guys running free, run fits that in the first half were awesome and not a problem, suddenly were again. And it's almost like the Commanders didn't get the break at halftime to go back to the drawing board that the Chiefs got. They just got outcoached defensively in the second half of the game. But on the flip side, Washington's offense, after the half, all the good came when they weren't scoring in the first half, before the two turnovers on downs, before the interception off of Deebo Samuel. In the second half, 5 plays, 25 yards, punt, 6 plays, 17 yards, punt, 3 plays, 6 yards, 3 and out, punt. And that one, by the way, oh, that was tough for me. I know I over-talked about it last night and was screaming about it. 7 minutes to go. You're down by 21 points. On a fourth down, they punted the football. The ultimate white flag.
Yeah, that's the white flag, right?
We can't wait to get out of here. Give up moment.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys hurt. You know, Kinlaw's on the sideline getting his shoulder worked on. I mean, look to me, this is not an official report or anything, but just from our vantage point, looked like they were trying to pop it back in. Like, I don't know what the injury was, but it looked like separated shoulder. Guys are trying to work on it to get it back in there. He's, you know, grinning and bearing it. There's a couple guys are holding them down. Like, it's Amish's dad from Braveheart getting the arrow broken off. You know, like, it was gruesome. You have Tunsil's gone out with a hamstring. McLaurin is kind of sitting there with his arms folded on the sideline. I guess maybe his quad flares up. You're walking wounded at that point.
You are.
I'm not going to say I understand.
Are you okay with the punt?
No, absolutely not. But it basically said, well, we're acknowledging what's happening. And that, so the mantra.
But I just think that's embarrassing.
Well, because it becomes empty when you tell people anytime, any place, anywhere, yeah, we don't quit, except if it's going badly.
That was a loser punt. I hated that punt. Because here's why you do it. You do it because you're down 28-7. And if you don't get it, when you punt there, you're giving them the ball in plus territory like a takeaway.
Yeah, they'll probably go on to win the game.
They're
going to
get a field goal. Very likely, but they could also possibly get a touchdown, I guess. The last scrimmage play on that fourth down where they punted was at the 36-yard line. So if you don't get it, they take over first and 10 from the 36. So if you just don't let them score, you just get the ball back sooner, theoretically. But I hated that. I thought that was just such a cringeworthy, loser, white flag-waving moment down 21 on the road on national television. But it was kind of a tale of two halves for me. I think after one quarter at 0-0, they're 12-point dogs, and you feel pretty good. After two quarters, it's 7-7, and you're going, this is the game we talked about. They needed takeaways. They haven't gotten them all year. They picked off Patrick Mahomes twice. One of them, by the way, we talked about this briefly, that play by Lattimore on the sideline was sensational. They got some big plays from Terry McLaurin, who was back for the first time in a month. His touchdown catch was otherworldly. His catch on the sideline was an all-timer. I mean, that was a ridiculous catch. There's nobody in the league better at whatever that is, by the way. Like, oh, I've got a blade of grass between my toes and the sideline and a guy hanging off of my leg and I'm full extension from the ground. I will take Terry McLaurin in a spot like that on whatever that is over every single wide receiver in the league. He's not going to route you up. You know, he's not one of a top five, top 10 receiver. I'm not suggesting that. But there's nobody better at a contested, ridiculous sideline catch than Terry McLaurin. And he made a couple of them last night. So you got some of the stuff that it was going to take that was going to have to mean, you know, oh, they're playing out of their minds a little bit. But the second half, it all kinds of comes apart. You get outgained 435 to 260. And that's with the Chiefs completely taking their foot off the gas pedal. Because Andy Reid's the opposite of like a Ben Johnson. He will never rub it in. He is never going to run up the score. They basically started kneeling like before the two-minute warning against the Raiders last week. I mean, he's just not going to embarrass a fellow coach. And last night, luckily, with about 8 minutes to go, they just said, oh, you guys are good? It was like the baseball rules where, you know, the unwritten rules.
Yeah, you're up seven after seven. Nobody's stealing. You know.
Yeah, we won't steal. You don't pick off, you know, that kind of stuff. Once Dan Quinn punted the football, Andy Reid was like, okay, fine, no problem. We'll get our backups in and we'll run the football for you. And everyone just went home a half hour later at 28-7. But I just thought as the game went on, it was pretty clear. As if we didn't know this already.
There's just no counterpunches, Grant.
The Chiefs are just in a different weight class. That's a team that'll be in a championship game at the end of the year. That is a team that is a Super Bowl caliber team. And whatever we thought of Washington at the beginning of the season, they're not close to that right now.
No, they're not that. And I don't know that they get to that. I don't know how or what the path is to be able to compete on that level. We all thought before the season maybe that could happen again. I did. I had them at 9-8, just missing the postseason. I don't know how they get there at this stage. You know, it's going to take a turn. It's going to take different play. They just don't have enough answers. They tried a couple different things to their credit on defense. You know, Dan Quinn didn't tip this, but we could see it from our vantage point. Tyler Owens was on and off the field depending on what package Kansas City was in. You saw a lot more Jordan McGee than you had in
Jordan
weeks past.
McGee played about 85% of snaps. He was in a full-time off-ball linebacker because they put Luvu at the edge.
And the defense is a lot faster when he's on the football field. You can just see it. You can see him, you know, flash around and get there first a lot. Bobby Wagner doing what he does best, tackling on the interior and not in space. Really, really good. I thought Lattimore had his best game. Just, you know, watching from my seat that he's had since he's been here. That was kind of the dream. So Dan Quinn's let's play better on defense plan. Let's try a couple different personnel things. As good as it could have worked, and you still couldn't stop anybody in that second half of the game. Just to me, they're just so limited, and there's no threat from anywhere.
Yeah, they're going to need Jordan McGee to clean some things up. I didn't think he played, going back and watching this morning, great ball, but the speed is what I care about. The idea is what I want. Which is, like, at one point, Darius looked over at me and was like, who the hell was that just flew in there and made that tackle? I was like, oh, that's Jordan McGee. And by the way, that's a linebacker who can run a little bit. It looks a little different. And he can. He can actually do the things at the linebacker level they don't have, which is what I'm interested in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You know, it was a wonderland last night. It was Arrowhead Stadium, where the tomahawk chop, early, often, constant.
All the time.
Now, here's what I'm willing to say about my anger about the tomahawk chop. First things first, I don't want them to stop doing it, necessarily. I don't think they should have to stop doing it, per se. I'm not trying to cancel the tomahawk chop here. I know Chiefs fans thought when I posted a video that I was, because they're very upset at me and calling me all time of names and telling me who I vote for and whatever else. That isn't really what I'm suggesting. What I'm pointing out is the hypocrisy of the Washington Commanders playing a game at Arrowhead Stadium where the Chiefs run out of the tunnel through an arrowhead and the tomahawk chop is done all night long. And in some places, like supposedly in Kansas City, they had this movement several years ago where they told their fans, don't do the tomahawk chop anymore. We're going to play the music and you guys do this thing where you just close your fist and act like you're like swinging a hammer. That's what we're going to do now. And it's the same as playing Hail to the Redskins after a touchdown when they became the Commanders. And then you go, sing this song. And you give them new lyrics and everyone goes, oh, cute, thank you. And then they go, Hail to the Redskins. And they just do what they want.
Yeah, we don't do the barbershop quartet. Fight for our Commanders. No, we're not doing that.
So, but the Chiefs fans that I've talked to out here and the radio people that I talked to out here are very much willing to quickly tell you how they made an attempt to stop doing the tomahawk chop. There's only one way to stop doing the tomahawk chop if you really want to stop doing it. Stop playing the song. Stop leaning into it. Stop having it be kind of the entire point of the night at the stadium.
Yeah, if you don't play it on the organ, if you don't have like now the ceremonial drum banging guy to get everyone going for the tomahawk chop.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like
how they start the night at kickoff.
You made a very valid attempt there. Not at all. It's obvious.
Eric Fisher, their former top tackle, joined the drum line or whoever it was up with him, and he just starts banging this big drum. And he's like, do, 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 do. And then as soon as he does that, they play over the loudspeaker. And the whole stadium gets into it. And you think, okay, this is a cool way to start the game. Everyone's locked in. And then they do it again in 3 minutes. And then again in 9 minutes. All night long. So again, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that for the people that have forever shouted us down and said, oh, it's not that big of a deal. The team doesn't even acknowledge it. Like, the team doesn't want the fans doing that. It's the entire point of the night at the stadium, other than Mahomes to Kelce, is to do the tomahawk chop. So let's just all acknowledge that. And acknowledge the hypocritical nature of the Washington Commanders playing there last night as that was happening. If we're willing to do that, I'm willing to move on and stop bringing it up. But that's what I want, is that acknowledgement, which I'm still not getting. And so the comments are like, move on! Nope, not moving on. I'm not ready to do that yet. My thing changed because my owner sucked, got into a fight with the minority owners, stuff was getting taken out of the stores, and no one else has had to make that change. People will say the Indians changed. The owner decided, and in like an altruistic way, to change the name to Guardians. He was not forced by Major League Baseball in the same way that Washington was forced by the NFL to do it. But the thing that I would, my last thing on this is, I got this picture sent to me last night by someone, and it was like, not allowed, allowed. And it was like the pictures of the Indians and the Redskins logos or whatever. And then the other ones are like the Blackhawks, which is, you know, Chicago Blackhawks hockey, Chiefs and Braves, all the other stuff. Can we just stop pretending? That's all I'm asking is, this is not only not a problem, Danny, it is a source of pride. Like, they love it.
There are a million different angles to this. And my thing in life is, I want balls and strikes called at all times, on everything. Whatever our rules are, we need the rules applied evenly and equally to everyone. So that governs how I think about damn near everything. And so my point all along wasn't that one is good and one is bad, right? Or this, that, wherever you fell on the name debate, or you obviously thought this, or it was obviously that. I don't care, and I'm not trying to re-legislate it. The point that I was always trying to make was, let's say you believed our thing was bad. Totally fine. Reasonable position as far as I'm concerned. Whether you agree with that or not, I don't care. That's not the point of what I'm about to say. All I could tell you was, if this thing is a strike, the tomahawk chop, reducing hundreds and thousands of, upon thousands of people to a simple reductive act, the tomahawk chop. It's the most belittling, condescending, reductive thing that you could possibly have about anybody. Like, all anybody's known for is chopping that tomahawk and scalping people. That's what the action is. They're not throwing a four pass, dude. It's the tomahawk chop. And it's done multiple places. I go, you could call mine a strike. That's thigh high, 97, down the middle. Even Angel Hernandez knows it's a strike. You know, Lance Barksdale's gone, ha! Everybody knows. And somehow, mine's gone, that one stays, and is promoted. That's the only point I have. Again, I don't care where you stand on what should have happened to Washington's name or otherwise. I'm also not one of the people that says that Redskins has to come back or I won't be a fan anymore. I've got a complicated position on that. I think a lot of people do. It's a very strange thing to love a team and hate its name so much that I won't even say it. But I'm also not a Redskins only person. Again, it's complicated. But my point is always, I don't care what we're talking about, where we're talking about, what it is. I need the rules applied evenly at all times. There is no circumstance on this earth where you draw a line, one side's okay, the other side's not okay. You've got not okay, a list of things. Then that one, the tomahawk chop promoted and done in that stadium, is on the other side. No way. And again, I'm not trying to get anything canceled. I'm anti-cancel. If you don't like it, don't do it. If you don't want to be a fan of the team because they do it, don't be a fan of the team because they do it. Do what you want. It's your fandom. I can't. The hypocrisy is the perfect word. So I just can't stand it. Again, no, I'm not trying to take anything away from any fan.
Yeah. Right. I went into the studio like you did yesterday with the guys that do the midday show here in Kansas City, and I said as much to them. I don't want you guys not able to do the tomahawk chop. I'm just pointing out that I had to take my ball and go home because it was too late to shoot baskets, and you're still on the court shooting baskets. If you'll just acknowledge that, then I'll be less annoyed. But you can't even acknowledge it. It's such a whataboutism in this whole, like, well, your thing's worse. No. You guys don't just do it. Like, it'd be one thing if there was this huge attempt. I remember the Braves, for a few years, I'm pretty sure I have this right, stopped playing the music, whatever you call that. It's not
the
music,
prompt.
But,
yeah.
Right. They stopped playing the oh, and the fans would just do it anyway, naturally. And so after a little while, the Braves are like, all right, if they're going to do it, we're just going to play the music, and it's just going to have to be okay. If the Chiefs were doing a thing where they were making any attempt because the league was saying, guys, this isn't a great look, and we've got this. Look, we got the Redskins as Commanders, and there was a little more consistency. It would be less annoying. But it is viewed like NBC's telecast kicks off from the aerial shot on Sunday Night Football with, like, look at this tradition. One of the great moments in the NFL.
Let's listen in.
You know, right? Wisconsin's got jump around.
Meanwhile, seven years ago, I got Bob Costas taking his glasses off and lecturing me that I'm a terrible person.
Virginia Tech's got,
Enter Sandman, which they played last night, by the way. You Rick about that? Virginia, they stole that.
They stole that right out of the Virginia Tech playbook. Virginia Tech's got Enter Sandman, and here at Arrowhead, let's listen in live as Grant and Danny, those racist jerks, sit in row 12 because they used to like the Redskins. Oh, and they're like, oh, it's great, Chris. Oh, this is the best. It's just so hypocritical. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Now, do it. You know, like, Darius, you wanted to say something. What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just laughing.
Oh, no. Earlier, you were like trying to... I thought you were on the mic, but no. Okay, no. That's fine.
Sorry.
That's fine.
That got weird.
Right then, it got weird.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I know what it sounds... It sounds like we're crusading for something. Like, if we're being punished, I want someone else to be punished, too. It's not necessarily that. It's... I don't really know what I want here, either. Yeah, I'd like some acknowledgement, to your point, but it's... I I don't really have an end game here.
You don't have to explain it, and we don't have to want anything, right, in my opinion. Here's what it is. My dad walked into a room where me and my brother are acting up, and he sends me to my room, and then he takes my brother out to get a steak. I'm annoyed by that, and I'm going to point that out the next time I see him.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Nobody else nothing has to happen.
Is that a specific incident you're referencing, by
no,
the way?
But that's
where
what
Ryan
happened.
Got a steak and you had to go to your room?
No, but it might as well have. That's what just happened here. Maybe that's what Darius was going to point out. That time that the steak thing.
That
happened.
Rhino got a steak and you got a room sentence?
Terry McLaurin ruled out already for Sunday Night Football.
Oof.
The only thing I like about finding this out today is that this is not going to drag on as a dog and pony show all week, where clearly the team realized he's not going to be able to practice, he's not going to be able to play. So rather than doing this thing where each day everyone tries to figure out if he's going down to the practice field and they ask Dan Quinn about it for the next 3 days, they just said, short week, rule him out, let's reassess on Monday. This was Dan Quinn minutes ago out in Ashburn. This is the breaking news live on The Fan.
Terry re-injured his quad, and so he'll be out this Sunday night. We'll reevaluate it next week to see where it goes. Bum for him, for us. Just tough, you know, where it goes. But we'll see what, you know, the next week looks like.
This is a nightmare season for Terry McLaurin. This is the worst-case scenario coming to fruition when you hold out for an extended period of time. You have no summer, you have no training camp. Don't care who you want to blame. You want to blame Terry McLaurin? Fine. You want to blame the team for not getting a deal done sooner? You're allowed to do that. He chose not to do the thing he's done his entire career leading up to the first six seasons of a career that has been outstanding, where he has gone for, on average, over 1,000 yards, where he has, every single year, other than his first year, gone for at least 1K and been one of the better, more productive receivers in the conference as a two-time Pro Bowler. And this year, I'm not anti-holding out generally. Get paid. Do what you got to do. But there comes a point where you got to show up to get right. You got to show up to get ready. You got to show up so that you're not at risk of being injured, so that you don't lose days or weeks. That was my fear, by the way. What if it's week three before Terry McLaurin's Terry McLaurin? What if we're 4 weeks in and Terry McLaurin hasn't broken out yet because he's getting back up to speed? It's going to be week 9. It is going to be November. He will have played in fewer games than he has missed. This is a disaster season for the most important player who you pay the most money to at the skill position in your offensive group. 4 games. 13 catches. That is a game for Jackson Smith Igbigba, who's coming in here on Sunday
night. Who
you're
about to see. You'll see it.
203 yards on the season as you get ready for football in week 9 for Terry McLaurin. So he will go into week 10 of the NFL season with 13 catches. It happened. This is a lost half of a year. Hopefully, only one game. Who knows? Could be a couple more. Nobody knows. If he re-injured the quad badly, he missed a month last time.
Uh-huh.
This could end up being a year where we look back in what could be the penultimate year of Terry McLaurin in D.C. because he only really got a one-year extension with all of the holding out and the nonsense of the summer. And we say, dude, you the whole year was derailed by what you did in the summer. This is just, I feel for the guy because he's the nicest dude in the world. He's a pro. But this is a disaster.
No way around that. There's no way around that. And again, it's hard to talk about what is right now without rehashing what we did before. We were talking to, you know, Toby and company in the producer studio during the break about it, and he said something I think is exactly right. Like, I don't care who you blame at this point. Everybody's got their entrenched thing. I blame the CBA and then his agent / Terry for not kind of reading the tea leaves and understanding that the team had all the leverage. So here it is, right? This is where we are. But that doesn't matter. What matters is what you just said. This is the worst case scenario. This is the disaster. This is the The reason you don't want to go down this road is dot, dot, dot. Well, dot, dot, dot just happened. He's ruled out now. This isn't, well, we're going to see if we can ramp him up and get him on Sunday. Ah, he might have to miss a week. He's ruled out. He re-injured it. Not I tweaked it, maybe we rushed him back too soon. He re-injured it, and he's already out. If he plays next week, I would be stunned by that. As you said, we just did this once, and it was a month. So now what are we talking? Week 12? Week 13? This is a lost year. That's on the table now. We were talking about a potential big-time down season because he didn't have any ramp up. He's hurt. But when he comes back, he might need a game or two. You're not going to ever get to those Terry McLaurin numbers, which you can book right around 80 catches, right around 1,100 yards, you know, usually five or six touchdowns. Last year's the anomaly. And that's pretty good. That's not great, but it's pretty good. And you were going to get there. You maybe get back to that pace, right? It's like a 300 hitter who doesn't hit 300 for 2 months. You don't just hit 770 to get to 300. You'll hit 300 for a couple of months, right? And it's slowly but surely get back. That's off the table now. If this goes the way that it could potentially go for another month where he doesn't play.
Forget that Terry's going to have a bad year, right? Think about all of the folks negatively affected by this, whose years have been worse because of
it. Oh, yeah.
In that building. Now, again, I'm not saying he's solely to blame for what happened this summer. I don't believe that he was. I blame him more than I blame the team, frankly, because it got to a point where I was endorsing everything he did. Don't show up in the spring. Don't show up in the summer. Hold in during the start of camp. I was on board with all that. It just went longer and longer and longer. And eventually I kind of turned and said, dude, are you sure you're ready to play football? Are you sure you're going to hit the ground sprinting and go hang 114 yards on the Giants? You sure about this, man? And the answer was no, by the way. He was not ready to do that. And I have no real patience for the people that I'm sure are ready to yell at me online and call me right now and tell me, you don't know if these injuries have anything to do with him not practicing. He could have gotten hurt anyway. Well, he didn't for six freaking years, okay? For 6 years, he didn't get hurt. He played in every game from 2021 through 2022 through 2023 through 2024. Do the Commanders play today? Terry McLaurin plays today. For 4 years in a row, he had one injury in his NFL career as a rookie back in 2019 that he gutted through after, you know, missing a game or two. That's the list. This year, I've got to figure out what was different. Did he change his diet? What was he eating for breakfast? Oh, wait, he didn't practice throughout the summer. And can we not acknowledge the reality, the truth that is said all the time about prep and soft tissue injuries? It's not like, by the way, he like, you know, had a separated shoulder coming down, getting tackled or something. It's not like he rolled his ankle. This is a soft tissue injury that is reoccurring, that won't go away, that needed three or four opinions and multiple doctors looking at it. And for a month he didn't play, and then he came back and played. And guess what? Now he's hurt again. And the real annoying part is how good was he the other night? He is so much better than anything they've got. He makes that insane catch for a touchdown on the sideline. Nobody better in the league at whatever that is. He makes the other ridiculous catch in front of their own bench on the sideline. Nobody better in the league with one blade of grass between me and the chalk than Terry McLaurin, contested with a dude hanging off of my thigh. Hurt again. What a mess of a season this has been for this player. But who else is paying the price, Danny? Jaden Daniels is way worse off without you. Zach Ertz is way worse off underneath without you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Deebo Samuel is now a marked man, and there's no one else in the offense to take attention away from him without you. You know, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt can't do the things he'd be doing without you. So whether it's him or it's the team or it's both, blame whoever you want to, but everybody is paying the price for
the
this.
The point is,
Cliff
we're
Kingsbury's
here.
Kingsbury's job in the future is looking, you know, less likely. And I'm being dramatic, but my point is, all of these guys were counting on you being Terry, and he can't be Terry because he's hurt.
And again, I'm talking on both sides of my mouth when I say I'm not that excited to re-legislate what we spent hours and weeks, 106.7 the Terry. We did that every day for months, it seems like. But this was my point when we got to a certain threshold of the lead up to the season. The off-season, however you want to define that, that's the time to do your advocating. That's the time to say, I need, I want, by all means. Right? Because the instant they don't feel like you're worth it anymore, they'll cut you. The league is unforgiving and cruel and ridiculous in that way. Okay? This was your opportunity. Once the business of this year started, it's no longer about you and yours. It's about we. It's about everybody else. And your point here, I think it's six of one, half dozen the other, different ways to say the same thing, is without you being you, without Terry McLaurin being Terry McLaurin, the team suffers because you're not as good. You're at risk for something like this happening. That affects Jaden Daniels. That affects the run game. That affects Jalen Lane's development.
Let me ask you this.
Affects everybody's opportunity to go down the football field and score points and get to where you want to go.
Has Jaden Daniels taken a step back this year?
Yes.
Would he be better off if Terry McLaurin played in every game?
There's no question.
He has been hurt by the absence. Now, injuries in this sport happen. I totally understand that, okay? I'm not angry at that Terry McLaurin is hurt. I'm angry that he, for the first time in his career, didn't do everything he could do to make sure that he doesn't get hurt. And in the year where that happened, he is missing a third of a season already in terms of the number of games out of 18. But he will have missed more games than he's played in after this week. And I'm trying not to do this like angry radio guy, like, oh, damn you, you're hurt, you're unavailable, whatever. That's not my goal. But I am a little bit frustrated by this ongoing thing of we're not allowed to draw the connection. People get so hot and bothered by this. Like, you don't know if he would have been hurt if he would have come to camp.
Of course you don't know.
Of course. I do know that there was a higher risk for injury, according to every medical expert. I do know that the way he did it every single year before this worked to make him a Pro Bowl caliber player, and then he did something this different this year, and he's the opposite of that. He's unavailable constantly. I know that. And I know, let's just work back from the result, that this has gone as bad as it could have. That for weeks we said, what if? What if? What if? And all the what ifs became the worst case scenario in a lost season where this offense has been spinning its wheels now the last couple weeks and is going in the wrong direction. And speaking of a lost season, they have not had their offense on the field once this year. Still.
That's right.
And they won't against Seattle. Jaden Daniels throwing to Terry, throwing to Debo, you know, with the entire group on the field collectively. I guess maybe you could say at the very beginning of the season, like week one, week two, they had everybody, but Sam Cosmi wasn't back, who's your Pro Bowl guard. Cliff Kingsbury is just waiting. Okay, if we get to this week, then I'll have everybody. All right, not this week, but next week. It's week nine. And by the way, if you look at the standings, it's too late. It got dark early. It's over, Johnny. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. News of the day, Terry McLaurin already ruled out. Surprisingly, just minutes ago by Dan Quinn, says he re-injured his quad. We don't know what that means, by the way. Did he re-aggravate it? Is it tweaked? Is it a one-week thing? Re-injured it? Like the same injury as before when he missed a month? What does that even mean? Summerall. You know what's funny is now when I hear Pat Summerall's voice, I think about the movie The Replacements. Because he was the broadcaster in that movie of all the big plays and highlights and stuff. But he was so basic in his
calls. Now, you starred in that movie, didn't you?
I did.
You were in that film.
An extra in that film in the crowd. But his calls were always like, back to pass, caught, touchdown. He just used his pipes and his very economic approach with words.
At the 20, 10, 5, touchdown.
I heard Joe Buck recently say, Buck said when he got into NFL play-by-play, because he was a baseball guy first, he said he wanted to do the Summerall thing. And it led to everyone yelling and screaming about how he doesn't care enough and he doesn't have any excitement and basically he wasn't engaged or interested. And he's like, no, I was just trying to do my Summerall where I'm just economic with my words. He said, as I started to have more energy and actually call the game more, you know, people started to give me more credit. Summerall's one of a kind. Like, you can't just do that.
Well, he's so perfect with Madden, right? Like, understated Pat Summerall, because you're trying to get out of the way as soon as possible because Madden's going to just, if there's a minute of talking, Summerall's got the play-by-play for 6 seconds.
And then 54 of which is Madden, like, here's, you know, he ate a turkey leg, and then he, you know, beat a guy over the head with a trash can because they got confused. And anyway, this is a good reverse. That's perfect. That broadcast my childhood, man.
The reason for that highlight from when Danny was 12 is that this weekend, the Commanders are going to be wearing the Redskins' old uniforms. Minus the logo, right? No emblem. But they will be wearing the actual colors of this football team.
The correct uniforms.
And for the first time since the 2-2-22 rebrand, they will look like the team that we all loved and cared so much about and grew up on. They will be, for one Sunday for 3 hours, and then a couple more times this season, a little bit more like the Redskins, that 91 group. Which, by the way, I was just watching the 91 Super Bowl highlight package on YouTube between the Redskins and the Bills. And Washington, that year, maybe the greatest team of all time. Not me saying that biasly. A lot of people feel that way. Just shoved it on the Bills in that Super Bowl.
First in offense, second in defense.
They are a 17-2 outfit that year. And that final game, Super Bowl, win over the Bills, 37-24. They led 17-0 at the half. 24-0 in the third quarter. They led 31-10 after three quarters. I mean, they were just absolutely destroying the Bills with the whole country watching. Sorry about your luck, Marv Levy. Joe Gibbs and his boys are here to push you around a little bit.
They had more, had a larger margin of victory than they allowed points. I'll translate that for you. They scored 485 points. They gave up 224. That's a difference of 261 points. The difference between how much they gave up and how much they scored is more than how much they actually gave up, which is insane.
It's why they're rated by a lot of these outlets that do this nationally, best teams ever. There's a couple in the conversation. But the 91 Redskins, especially when you actually do analytics stuff, look into like DVOA or any of these numbers, put back over eras, there's a real case that that was the best NFL team of all time. That defense, by the way, in that game, which sacked Jim Kelly five times in the Super Bowl, they held Thurman Thomas to 13 yards on 10 carries the year he was the MVP of the league. Think about that. So think about a running back MVP. Yep. So it's like McCaffrey or maybe
Adrian Peterson.
You know, Bijan Robinson this year or something. And then in the Super Bowl, he averages a yard per carry while you sack the quarterback five times because you just shove it on them defensively, yet you have the best offense in the sport.
They were incredible. And again, it was Gentleman Joe Gibbs. This is not Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson running trick plays up by 40 in the fourth quarter. You know, they're calling off the dogs the instant they think they got the game won. Just unbelievable how good that group was. They were good at everything. You want to be turned over? We got you. Want to be sacked? We got you. You want to get passed on? We got you. You want to get down close to the goal line, hand it off to Gerald Riggs, who's going to he's here to chaw on some gum and score touchdowns, and he hadn't had gum in months. Just mushing people. They were amazing.
I'm just so excited for these uniforms, though. This is 1,000% the correct thing to do. Ownership's about to hit a home run here when you guys see these kits being worn this weekend. This is the Redskins jerseys that it should have been for the Commanders. If you want to put the block W instead of the, you know, Native American with the feather, that's the name change. Cool. They changed the jerseys. Yep. They changed the colors. It's a different thing. It looks nothing like the Redskins. And that all changes on Sunday night in primetime. They're going to wear these as well against Denver, which is another Sunday night game a few weeks from now. And then they're going to wear them on Christmas Day for the national TV game against the Cowboys. Now, why they waited this long, I don't really get. When the schedule came out, I remember saying, how are there zero of the three in the first half of the season?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was going to go sideways to the point where you're falling to 3-6 potentially when you wear them for the first time and your season's over. But a little bit of the excitement has been sapped here. Like, imagine if through these eight games they were 6-2 and playing a game with a really good Seattle team for one of the top spots in the conference as a potential NFC championship game preview type matchup right now, just how much more giddiness and excitement there'd be about this. I think some of the juice is getting sucked out of it, but I'm not going to allow their struggles, their three-game losing streak, to take my eyes off the prize of what a big deal this is for so many of us, that a right has finally been found where there was a wrong, where they are righting a wrong of the bad uniform change, and I think this is only the beginning. I don't know if they could have come back full time with these. I think there's a lot of hurdles and things I've always heard with the league and changing jerseys right after you went to a new one. But I think they're doing everything they can to try to make sure that this is part of the fabric now, that they get back to the old Redskins era stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot of Clints in the way, I think, to do this full time. But I will fully admit that my excitement is dampered by, frankly, the last few weeks and the losing and how dire I feel like kind of the predicament is. But, I mean, this is for me. You know what I mean? Like, this is always kind of my reminder, not always, but this is a reminder how separate business, finance, that side of the building is from the football side, right? Like, I know they're under the same umbrella. We just think of them as Washington. This is the football team. It's what they're doing. But they can't control the fact that there have been a bunch of injuries at defensive end and receiver hasn't gone according to plan and that sort of deal. This is the marketing ownership, do everything I possibly can at all times to win the hearts and minds of the fans. That's what this is. And I'm grateful for it. I don't know how I'm going to feel. Honestly, I don't know what my reaction is going to be when I watch them trot onto the field in those jerseys.
What do you mean? What are the options? You're going to be excited and you're going to like how they look.
Well, I'm going to love it so much, but am I going to get emotional? Like, that's what I mean. I don't know. I honestly, just because of so much that's been taken, and I don't just mean the name. I just mean robbed by that little twerp who ruined this special, incredible thing that I had from my childhood. He tainted it for decades. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Am I going to sit there sobbing like a little child? I have no idea. But I do know that I'm a little bit bummed out by kind of the circumstances of football, but I'm trying, and I think I'll be able to separate that come game time and just bask in the fact that this is correct. It should have been this way all along, but you know what? I can't fight that now. It's correct now. At least I'll get to see it again. And I'm going to be thrilled.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's fantastic. I just want to know, and there's no way to get this info. I don't even know if it exists yet. But is there an end game to this plan? Now, they're giving me an inch, and I'm looking for the mile, so to speak. But when I had originally heard that they were going back to these uniforms, and we talked about it on the show really early in the process, way back when, and let people know there's going to be some Super Bowl-era stuff they're working on. What I had originally heard was that this was going to be the uniforms. And then it came out that this was an alternate they're going to wear a couple of times. Is there any thought to that actually eventually being the landing spot?
Man, I hope.
Maybe they just couldn't have done that yet. Here's what I know. At a huge clip, these are going to go over like gangbusters with this fan base. There might be a few new young fans who go, the Commander stuff is better. I mean, I'm talking about a couple of really young people and or people who don't care about the history of the team. But there's just so many more of the rest of us that if you were to do a vote, a poll of some type after Sunday night, even when they lose to Seattle, if that happens, I think it would be like 80-20. Wear these all the time, not the Commander stuff. Does that matter? Obviously, the fact that the name isn't popular doesn't matter that much. They're not changing it. But this would be a much easier fix. Teams change uniforms all the time. Uniform design, uniform shade, uniform color. Look at the Eagles with the Randall Cunningham greens that they wear sometimes that fans love or whatever. You could just, over an offseason, whenever you're allowed to by the league, and I don't know, that's the big question.
Yeah, whatever the rules are.
How many years do you have to wait or whatever? But when you're able to just touch a button, snap your fingers, wear whatever you want to wear, would they go back to these? That's what I want to know. That's my hope. Because even though they're not going to be called the Redskins, it would heal the soul quite a bit.
It's the closest thing to that, right? The two things that you can do short of the name are play at RFK again. Got to wait a few years, but that's what's happening. That site, just that, you know, that spiritual home, to borrow the phrase from so many that have advocated for it, and the uniforms. The two out of three. It's the closest you can do to get back to that perch,
guy.
Right.
They're going to be dressed like the Redskins on Sunday.
That's Ernest Biner and Gary Clark going over the top and Art Monk catching first down passes. Mm. Hungry Man Dinner, Charles Mann.
My era would be Chris Cooley catching passes, Jeremiah Trotter and London Fletcher making tackles, Stephen Davis going for 1456 in 1999, Albert Connell and Michael Westbrook both going for 1,000 from Brad Johnson. I mean, look, if you're Clary or you're Toby, it's Sean Taylor and it's who's more recent than even Cooley. It's like Antoine Randall and maybe even, honestly, like Clinton Portis. And
yeah, those are distant memories for those guys.
Alfred Morris.
Right. You know?
800-636-1067. You got a thought on the Redskins turning the clocks back to the Super Bowl era with their 91 retros. The Commanders are going to be dressed like their old unis, like the Redskins this weekend. Gotta start with the A topic, the big news of the day. If you missed our reaction right off the top today, grab the podcast. The Nationals have a new manager, and he's 33 years old, the youngest manager hired in over 50 years. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, joins us to discuss the hiring. It's not official yet, Mark, but they're putting the pen to paper today, it sounds like. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think it should be official here somewhat soon, guys, and then they'll probably have a press conference, I'm going to guess, sometime next week, although I think they're still working out those details. But I'll be honest, I had never heard of Blake Butera before about 10 o'clock this morning when the news broke. He was not on my radar as somebody to be watching for. But what you have gathered about him, yes, 33 years old, hasn't managed above low A ball in the Rays system and did 2 years of that after 2 years of rookie ball. But spent the last 2 years as their senior director of player development. And this is an organization, as you guys know, that is really well regarded for its player development. The Rays may have other issues, but they have consistently been one of the best in baseball at developing young players into big leaguers. And certainly you can understand why that would match up with Paul Toboni's vision for what he wants to do with the Nationals. Now, the lack of experience and any kind of major league experience, he didn't play in the majors either. He played a couple years in the minor leagues, low levels. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. How does he walk into a room of big league players and immediately command their respect? That's what's going to be on him now to figure out. But it does feel like somebody who aligns well with what Paul Toboni's vision, I think, for the franchise is.
Yeah, to that last point there, Mark, do you think it, I don't want to say necessitates, but might include then the veteran baseball man bench coach? Kind of is almost like his consigliere, someone that's been around that, you know, whose hair is gray. Like, does it almost require that, or can you get away without having that, do you think?
That would be the conventional approach, Danny, right, for sure, would be to bring in somebody who does have some experience and you know, maybe even a relationship with the players. And I'm speculating here. I have no way of knowing this, but like a Matt LeCroy, who's been the AAA manager for a long time and knows all these guys, somebody like that, it would make a lot of sense. But as we're already seeing, Paul Toboni may be doing things a different way than we're used to. And so I don't want to just assume that that's going to be the case. But I understand it's a very young clubhouse, and so they're going to respond well, you would think, to a young manager. But there's also something to be said for somebody who walks in the room and commands your respect, maybe not because you know him personally, but because he's been there, done that, either as a manager previously or as a player in the big leagues. And that's a tough thing. If you don't have that, it doesn't mean you can't be successful, of course. But if you don't have that, then I would think you want to surround yourself with at least a few people on your coaching staff who already, you know, walk into the room with that kind of a level of respect that Blake Butera himself is going to have to earn.
Mark, agree or disagree with this take? This hire signifies to me that this is not a, let's spend a little bit of money and try to be the Reds this year where we sneak into the wild card. I feel like you go get a player development guy, an instructor at the minor league level, you're about to reboot this thing with youth at the big league level for some time.
That was my read on it too, Grant. And I'm glad you mentioned the Reds because I've been thinking about them a lot here the last few weeks. A similar team in some way of good young talent, but hadn't gotten over that hump yet. And they went and hired Terry Francona, a multi-winning World Series manager, and he took them into the playoffs. Now, they got blown up by the Dodgers right away, and that was that. So who knows long-term what they're going to be. There was a line of thinking, and I could have bought the argument that said the Nationals are in a similar position. They have young talent. Let's add to that. Let's bring in somebody with experience who can help elevate these guys to another level and try to win in the immediate future. This doesn't look like that. You know, we'll hear what they all have to say, and there's still a long way to go in the offseason to see what their approach is as far as building the roster. But the initial read of it would seem to be, to me, that this is a guy who's being brought in to help young players get better, and understanding that that's probably more of a long-term process than a short-term process. We'll see. Again, let's hear what they have to say. But so far, the moves of Toboni, the hiring of Butera, would suggest to me that they're thinking more in terms of winning down the road as opposed to winning in 2026.
Do you see this as the manager reading the spreadsheet from the front office about, you know, what pitching matchup, whom against who, and this is the thing we want or don't want, et cetera? Or is this, you know, learn on the job and be able to operate via your gut every now and again? Do you see this as kind of an extension of the front office?
Yeah, I think that's another conclusion that I kind of drew early on here today as this all played out. Again, let's hear what they have to say about it.
Right.
But it sounds to me more like some of the modern front offices and organizations, where the GM and his people in the front office are conveying down to the manager's office, here's what we want the lineup to look like, here's how we think you should handle this, handle that. And the manager's job is not necessarily to take the 26 players that he's given and decide how best to use them, but to implement the plan that the organization has. Now, that can be effective, and it has worked in other places, so I don't want to totally discount that. But it's a big departure from what we've seen here, certainly over the years under Mike Rizzo, who was pretty adamant about, I give you the players, and whoever the manager is, I leave it up to you to decide how you want to manage this team. We'll see. Maybe it won't be that way, but it feels to me like this is more of a collaborative effort and a top-down scenario where the front office is making a lot of the decisions, and the manager's primary job is to implement whatever it is the front office wants to do.
Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com. One last one I want to sneak in here. Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams. Chance that one or both gets traded this offseason, you think?
It's certainly possible, and I think that speaks to the other question about are they thinking more long-term here or short-term? If you believe that this group is good enough to win in the next couple of years with additions to it, then of course you want them to be a big part of it. If you think it's further down the road that they're not well-positioned to win yet, then I think you have to consider those kind of moves, probably more so in Gore's case because he's got 2 years left until he can be a free agent. So I think that's something you absolutely would have to consider if that is the overarching plan. And that's why I think what we see here in the next month or two is going to tell us a lot about where they're really going with this.
Mark, thank you, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most: running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.